Today's guest is Emerald Sinclair, and Emerald is an intuitive guide and spiritual mentor who helps women to connect with the true desires of their heart, offering them the courage and accountability to follow through and take action on their dreams. And she gives them practical tools in order to manifest the love of their lives and the life of their dreams. I'm excited to have this conversation with Emerald. I met her on Instagram and I love what she's doing. I love her name, and she spells Emerald with a Y, and we'll get into that story. So one of the things that I noticed very quickly in our conversation is that she is so passionate. She was living from the place of purpose that we all dream of. And I just want you to listen for that. And one of the ways you can tell, and I feel like when people speak from their brain, sometimes they stumble with their words, but when they speak from their heart, it often comes so fluidly out of their mouth. And it's like, you can't stop it. It's louder. It's just this energy, this high frequency energy that emanates out of their body. And she is so passionate and so articulate and talking about what she does and her story, her whole backstory. And I really loved it. I love it when people come from a place of purpose and they're basically living their purpose, and they're like the passion is just like spilling out of them. And that was definitely Emerald. So we talk a little bit about her backstory. She has an interesting story and how she got into the world of manifestation. And she's 35. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, she's like 35 plus 35 is 70. I do the math, right? And I was wondering what people think midlife is now, because I think the age expectancy of women is like in the 80s. And so that would mean like middle of the life is 40 something. And a lot of people are living into their 90s and even 100. I saw this thing on Instagram. This woman just set the new Guinness Book of World Records, 100 years old, weightlifting, which I thought was incredible. So, and then I thought, you know, because I'm always trying to, okay, are they a good fit for the podcast? Because I talk about midlife transformations. But then I thought, you know, my podcast name is Not Your Average Lives. And she definitely fits the bill for that. And I thought, you know what? I don't care if people are midlife. If they have an interesting story to tell and they're going to inspire people who listen, then I'm on board with bringing them on my podcast. So maybe the future of this podcast might tilt a little younger, but I do like the older women, because so many of them have transitioned at older ages. And I think those are great examples for people who are stuck at midlife or later in life, even older than midlife. I myself have stopped even referring to midlife because it's like the second half. So anyways, I will not talk anymore. I will get right to the interview with Emerald. I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed talking to her. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Emerald Sinclair, and she spells her name differently. There's a story behind that. She said she changed her name, and I'm very curious about how that came about. But what she does is, I think a lot of people will be really intrigued. She is an intuitive guide and she does conscious creation manifestation. And we'll talk about what that actually means. She's living a nomadic life right now. So we'll talk about that because I'm very intrigued with that, wanting to do the RV thing. So welcome to the program, Emerald.
Thank you, Lori. I'm happy and honored to be here and excited to share my wisdom.
Yes. Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm honored to have you because I love everything manifestation. So, and I'm sure my listeners will be intrigued. And you also, like you started really concentrating on love and it's kind of grown into something else. So I'd love to talk about that too, because I love love. Yeah. So where do you want to begin? Do you want to talk about your backstory? I will say that she's a bit younger. She meets the midlife mark. She's a bit younger than a lot of my people, but I think she's, you know, lived a few lives So
I've lived a lot in these last 35 years. And then of course the multiple lives before that. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the love coaching aspect, because I think that is really important and it will add a bit of depth and flavor into what we are getting into later on in the episode, as far as conscious creation, living the life of your dreams, not putting it into the future. So the beginnings go back to high school. My dad is a hypnotherapist, and at that time he was studying hypnotherapy. And so this is when I actually started to learn about the subconscious mind and the fact that all of our old habits and patterns and belief systems and stories and what we've seen and experienced with our families growing up, books we've read, Disney movies, what we see portrayed in the media, I learned at a high school age that it's all in our brains. It's all in our subconscious minds. And that's actually what's running the show. It's not what you want. It's who you are. Because if it was what you wanted in your conscious mind, we would all have the love of our lives. We'd all have the perfect body. We'd all have millions of dollars in our bank account. We'd all be traveling the world or whatever your desires are, right? So it's not enough to just have a conscious desire. So those seeds were planted from an early age and they took hold. They took hold, they grew. I started doing so much of my own research on the mind, on the conscious mind, on manifestation, which is ultimately just consciously creating your reality. And throughout my 20s, I had very tumultuous relationships in regards to I wanted love, but I kept getting my heart broken over and over and over and over and over again. And yet I have these seeds of understanding that while I'm so powerful, my subconscious mind is running the show. So there must be something underneath the surface that's blocking me from getting the relationship that my feminine heart craved for.
Let me ask you for a second. I'm always intrigued with the parent-child relationship. So, and so like my, when I think about parents and their jobs, they don't really like, they don't often bring them home. You know, they leave them at work and then they come home and that's work. So what did your dad do to instill these things? Did he talk about work a lot or did he like hypnotize you? How did you learn about that?
My parents split up when I was 3 and I grew up with my mother and stepfather. My dad was in a different state. And so his way of influencing would be sending books, sending videos, things to read, things to watch. It was more like your mom and stepfather are influencing you under their roof. Here's how I would like to influence you. So I'm just going to send you books and videos that I believe you can make your own decision. And then when we were together, because I would spend summers or different holidays with him, of course, we'd have conversations or books or movies. And yes, there were times that he would hypnotize me. I really can't remember if it happened in high school or if it was later on when we were both living together in Ecuador, not in the same house, but in the same town. And so don't underestimate the power of sending your children books and movies to watch. Obviously, they need to be open-minded to watch them. However, my dad and I have always been very close. And so I trust what he sends my way, or at least I'm willing to read it or watch it. I'm not just going to throw it in the garbage.
Yeah. And that might've even been a better way because, you know, the connection to your father was through that. Whereas if you lived with him, maybe it was like in and out when, you know, in one ear and out the other. So
totally. You're like, quit telling me what to do, Dad.
Yeah. So, and I'd love to know how you ended up in Ecuador, but yeah. So go ahead. You You had relationships that, like many of us.
Oh my God. It was like all the mistakes in the book. And I tell a bunch about this actually in my book, Destination Soulmate, like all the crap I had to go through. And I think it's extremely validating for women to realize they're not alone. Like, oh honey, trust me. I've been there, done there, slept with the wrong guy, chased after the married man. Like I've done it all on my quest to find love. And it was all from this place of neediness, all from this place of I'm not good enough on my own, all from this place of I'm not complete, so let me look outside of myself for that love. And I, of course, now see this all in hindsight. So my 20s were very much a period of personal development. What could I read? What could I watch? Who could I study with? Mind you, it was because I was searching for love outside of me. But end result was at 28, I did call in a really amazing man. I manifested him. I used a very specific process of everything I'd learned. I'd reprogrammed my subconscious mind. I'd worked through some mommy and daddy wounds and the stuff that was imprinted from childhood. And at that time in my life at 28, I was just transitioning out of a business with a girlfriend. We had a cafe and it was now what? And through, of course, divine intervention, my best friend at the time told me that she had a virtual assistant. And my part in the cafe was marketing, it was managing, it was handling the employees, it was doing the website, the social media, all of that. And so I was like, okay, well, the next step could be I could be working for other women online. And the very first client I got was a coach, and she was in this coaching academy, and word got out, and all of a sudden I had 10 different women that I was helping to run their online businesses and do the social media, the marketing, the management. And that turned on a bulb in my head of, I want to do this. I want to help women with love and relationships. Look at this relationship I'm in that is so much of higher caliber than anything I've been in. All of these tools that I have learned for myself, I want to help other women. I don't want them to go through the journey I had to go through. Let's collapse time. And so the first 2 years of helping all these other coaches with their businesses, taking it all in and learning and figuring out how to run my business. And so after 2 years of doing that, then I had a full client load of women that I was helping to coach through love and relationships. Now, fast forward a couple years later, and the man and I, we were no longer in alignment. We'd grown apart. We were different people 4 or 5 years later, and that's okay. I was very much on that fast track of personal development, which is not who I was when we met. Because when I met, I was running a cafe, working 80 hours a week, completely suppressed, not really living my higher self ideals, not really having that time to meditate, to connect in. It was at night, I was lucky to like have a glass of wine, go to bed, get up 5 hours later and start all over again. So you can imagine when I'm really dipping into the personal development world and really focusing on who I am and my heart's desires, and he's not on that same trajectory as me. After 5 years, we're in very different positions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how old you were, but when I think about what I liked in my early 20s versus what I was like later, it, you know, changes a lot.
Absolutely. But, yeah. And yeah. And so
you're still growing. You're still like learning about yourself. Yeah,
exactly. And that's why, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in happily ever after with one person because relationships are stepping stones. I believe you can be with someone forever. I believe you can be happy with someone your entire life. I believe you can be unhappy with someone your entire life. And I believe you can happily transition of relationships that step you up, which is what my journey has been. Every relationship has gotten better and better and better because I'm taking all this time to really connect in with myself, peel back the layers of ego and Maya and BS belief systems that don't actually serve me. And so as I become more authentically me and shine from the inside out, my relationships on every single level, they match that. Whether it's a lover, a partnership, a friendship, my business coach, my clients, they're just so aligned with my soul. And so we were no longer in alignment and we lovingly separated. But through the last year of our relationship, as I'm really seeing my clients shine in all areas, because you can't work on one area of your life, like self-love and relationships, and not have it spill over into every other area, like career and finances. And I knew this was going to happen, but in the beginning of my business, I didn't have any money, so I didn't feel comfortable coaching on money. I was like, I have love. I feel comfortable coaching on love. But I had the foresight knowing where it was going because I understand the internal effects every single area of your external. So I started coaching consciously on manifestation. Like, what was the process? I was teaching women to manifest love. Like, it's a 5-step process. You can apply it to anything. And then when my business was doing really well and hitting 6 figures and having really big months, I'm like, all right, let me teach the process of manifestation as it pertains to money. And then when he and I transitioned out of partnership, the brand became much more manifested all, abundance, love, life of your dreams. And we niche down and have programs on love. We niche down and have programs on manifestation, programs on money. And then we go a step further, which is where I'm at now and really developing my spiritual gifts, really working on channeling, connecting to myself, connecting to source, connecting to my guides, my client guides, also working with a channeler right now to help her or for her to help me develop my gifts. Now, even more so, my private mentoring with my clients is on anything and everything, because when you're tuned in, tapped in, turned on, connected to self, connected to source, connected to their higher selves, that's the level I want to help clients with, not the get the guy, get the money, get the job, which of course are all beautiful, important manifestations of this physical reality that we live in, but not from this place of lack of, I need love in order to feel worthy. I need money in order to feel abundant. I need the job in order to feel valid. It's remembering who the F you are and manifesting from that place of power, of that Christ consciousness energy that lives within you, that you are a powerful creator just because you are. And so that's been this beautiful growth and evolution in my life and my business over the many years. And I love that I get to then everything I go through, share with my clients, whether it's amazing things I've created or challenges I've gone through. And okay, well, this is how I've learned and moved through it.
Yeah. So I have it's so interesting the way you have just kind of, it's kind of like a ladder, right? You know, just one step up each, you know, with each learning or each lesson or each, you know, whatever universal download or whatever you get to go there. So many people, and I'd love to hear your perspective on this, think like they know, need to know where they're going to end up before they get there, instead of what can you say? And, you know, I know looking back, it's easier where you are now looking back, but what would you say to somebody who's just like thinking about starting out with something new and thinking they have to have it all solved, and that like just the next step is going to open up so much clarity and so much like just where you're going to go on the next step might not be where you're going to end up. And like 99% of the time, it's not. It's just, it's not just an expansion of that next step. It's like could be a totally different direction.
Well, and this is a beautiful question, because ultimately now we're talking about, can I be happy in the present moment versus I need to hit the end goal, the finish line? And so if you think about running a marathon, training for a marathon, so much of the time is not actually you crossing the finish line. It's all the preparation. It's all the exercise. It's the change in diet. It's the sleep. It's removing alcohol. It's adding more water, whatever it is. It's the journey. And so the way I look at it is you don't have to know the final destination. And like you so beautifully put, more oftentimes than not, where you think you're going is not actually where you're going. If you would have told me 5 years ago, this is where I'd be, I'm like, are you kidding me? Absolutely not. No way. But that's the beauty of life. And so what I advise my clients, because we get a lot actually into career and what's my purpose and where am I going and what does it all mean and what's the end result? I'm like, I don't have a crystal ball. Are you kidding me? I wish I did. That'd be great. But what I advise them and remind them to do is why we want the things and why we set the goals and why we have the benchmarks is because of one thing: how we think we're going to feel when we get the guy, when we have the money, when we have the career, when we have the RV and we're traveling the world. So let's bring it back to how it feels. You don't have to know 10 steps from now, but what's the next step that feels right? And the next step that feels right? And the next step that feels right. And if it stops feeling right, then you pivot. And that's truly how I have built my business and life, is just following the breadcrumbs. I have intentions, I have ideas, I have goals, but I also remember that those are all focused on how I want to feel. So I can actually focus on feeling those moments in the present moment, which is actually manifestation. How you manifest and create via law of attraction is, it's the feeling. It's not that you have a goal and you wrote it down on a sheet of paper, but it's you embodying the feeling of that goal right now, because that's what you're actually after. But that's what activates the magic of the universe and law of attraction and calls things to you in the present moment. So for the woman that is 800 steps ahead of herself, what feels good in this moment? for you, because this is the moment you have. This is the moment you will only ever have, is right now, this present moment, where your thoughts, your belief systems, your actions, your feelings are moving out into the future and rippling, the ripple effect, like pulling it back to you in the present moment.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, you said you don't have a crystal ball, and I thought it was so interesting because, like, I think we all have crystal balls for ourselves, you know, but we're just not looking at them. Like, you don't for your clients, because you have to like find out what their crystal ball is telling them, right?
Right.
Yeah. So in a way, we do. What I've learned is, you know, it's that inner voice is telling you, and not just, you know, what feels right, but what feels good. Because exactly. So many people, like, you know, one of my students told me last night, she feels flat in her life. And it's so funny because I'm reading this Simple Abundance book every day. And today's entry, I read it every morning. And today's entry was like, if you're feeling like your life is flat, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was like delivered to me to send her, you know?
Yes. And that happens to me all the time. I pull cards, I listen to audios, I'm like, this is for my client. We just talked about this last night. And so that's the thing. The universe is speaking to you all the time in so many ways. Like, listen, listen, listen. I'm trying to co-create. Your intuition is speaking to you. But are you taking the time to slow down and listen, to receive the messages that are around you at all times?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so curious about your journey now. So what would you say to somebody who says, I don't have that ability. You know, some people just are born with that ability. I don't have that ability. And it's like, you're working on developing like that ability. And yeah. So what did you think about your abilities before you got to this level?
So there have certainly been times in my life, and I will use channeling as an example. I have a dear friend. She's a world-renowned channeler. And my idea was always, that's her gift. She's a channeler. Like, it never even crossed my mind for the last 35 years that I could do that too. Like, I knew I was intuitive and I knew I had great advice and wisdom, but it just once again never dawned on me. And so I had to move through that as well. And synchronistically, a person came into my life and he recommended this intuitive psychic medium channeler. I started working with her. And from day one, she's like, Emerald, I'm meant to help you develop your gifts. And so there, of course, was resistance in the beginning. I'm like, what do you mean? I have never identified as that type of woman. I've identified as a coach, as a mentor, as a guide, as a bright light, whatever it is. And so I personally believe that we are all capable of doing anything. Some people, let's just say they're more developed. Let's say someone comes into their life and from day one, they know I'm meant to be a baseball player, professional golf player, a teacher, or a channeler, intuitive guide. That's fine. Other people, they'll develop their gifts later in life. But what I want to remind you is, just because you were born speaking English doesn't mean you can't learn French at 18 or 35 or 45 or 55. We all have the exact same abilities. Some people are just born with them more developed than others.
Yeah. 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 That's so interesting. And I wonder if there's some hereditary, like, because, you know, if your dad was a hypnotherapist, he had that inkling.
Yes, no, because he is like, I love my dad, but he is very much an ego. He's very much an intellect. And channeling has nothing to do with ego, nothing to do with intellect, nothing to do with societal doctrine. And if anything, channeling is all about connecting to universal life force and love, which really it doesn't have much to do with this physical 3D manifestation that we live in. We very much live in a world of monkey see, monkey do, get in line. Here's our books of belief systems that our culture has believed and our family has believed and our religion has believed. Like, here you go. Now it's your turn to believe it. I view channeling as being almost like antithesis to all of that, which is like, no. You're actually connecting into your source, to that divine love and truth, which has nothing to do with this simulation that we're living in.
That is so good. The way you explain that. So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Can you talk more about the being present? Like, what does that actually mean? And what happens when people like spend all of their time outside of the present?
I would say the majority of people spend the most of their time in the past and the future. being present to me, and it's a practice, don't get me wrong. Our mind loves to spin. Our mind likes to make stories. And when you think about manifestation, it's actually a present future process, right? Like we manifest based on being grateful for where we're at, but excited about where we're going. So we're calling the future to us in the present moment. But the present moment is where our power lies, right? Like this is when we're thinking, this is when we're taking action, this is when we're speaking. So to me, being present is quite honestly just slowing down. And it can be daily meditation, which I think is oh so important because the mind is a muscle and this helps you get in control of your mind versus letting your mind run away from you. So meditation is a really powerful exercise to use in order to help you be present. And then you can do walking meditation. For example, yesterday I had a very long day. And so in between calls, I would just go outside and walk. Wasn't on my phone. I wasn't walking for exercise. In fact, I was just strolling. I was looking at the flowers, looking at the clouds in the sky, listening to the birds. So I was just allowing myself to be present. And what I have actually found when it comes to hearing my intuition or getting downloads from source, sometimes they come in meditation. And meditation is actually really hard to clear your mind. Like if you do a 15 minute meditation, you have 2 of those minutes where you're clear-minded, hallelujah, congratulations. So for me, I find movement is really helpful when I'm hiking, biking, walking, when I'm not necessarily focusing and thinking on what to do or what not to do. I'm just present to the fact that I'm biking or hiking or walking. That's usually a lot of times when the downloads come in for source and the inspiration and the great ideas.
Yeah.
And so being present to me is just one thing at a time. You're not on your phone while you're eating. You're not on your phone while you're walking or listening to music. And I'm not saying I do this all the time because there's plenty of times I'll listen to music while I'm walking, but finding time each and every day where you're not doing anything. And there's so many ways that you could manifest that. I have a girlfriend I just visited when I was in Arkansas. Every morning when she goes out and brushes her horses, that's her moving meditation. That's her being present. That's her being in the moment without what do I need to do today? It's just here I am right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I have this term for people that are so lost in the 3D world. It's like call them busy doers. That was me, you know, just like climbing the corporate ladder and like suppressing everything that my inner voice was saying. Yeah. And I think, I love that you're suggesting this because sitting meditation, I think as a first step for somebody that's a busy doer is super hard.
Hard.
And so if somebody had said, oh yeah, you can walk and meditate, I'd be like, okay.
Exactly. And so yeah. Count your steps, count your breath. Can you look at every single flower or blade of grass as you're walking? Like you can do a very present, mindful movement meditation.
Yeah. And I have a dog who loves to walk. So, and I just recently, cause I would always like listen to my music and bebop along. And I've started like leaving my phone at home, but then I'm like, oh, I can't take a picture of my dog. So, but yeah. But not using music and yeah, more stuff comes when I shut off that extra noise. So that's
right.
Great.
It's like, how can you listen if you're busy talking?
Yes. And it's not necessarily you talking, but somebody's like talking to you.
Yeah,
you're singing.
Your
well, I guess you're singing. Yeah. Exactly. So tell me about your nomadic. I'm very curious about how that came up, what you're experiencing, what you're doing. You're living in friends' houses and Airbnbs and other stuff.
And hotels. And it's been great. These are summer months. I've gone through some of the hottest states, 100 degrees plus. There is no camping and tenting in this nomadic adventure. It is houses, hotels, and Airbnbs. So last summer during COVID lockdown, my ex and I, a different partner than the first one I was referring to, we spent the summer in Turkey. It was amazing. Turkey is now top of my list. Culture, food, wine, people, ruins, the coast, the Med, everything. I am just goo goo gaga for Turkey. So we spent-
Dr. Oz has just visited there.
Oh, no
he
way.
Was visiting his mom because he pops up in my newsfeed. I don't know why, but yeah. And so he was visiting, he was having all like family pictures and, you know, showing pictures of Turkey and yeah. Cause that's where he's from. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. So it's amazing. So my ex and I spent the summer in Turkey And when we got back from Turkey, we decided to consciously separate. There was just a non-negotiable that we couldn't compromise on. It wouldn't have served either one of us or our higher selves. And our commitment from day one in the relationship was our relationship with our higher selves and life path comes first. Our partnership comes second. How can we co-create together, help meet each other's needs? If it ever comes to a point where it's no longer in alignment, that's okay. We lovingly separate. And so that's what we did. And when you step out of partnership, you go from co-creating to, well, what do I want to create? And the first thing, of course, that pops in is travel. So I spent the first 3 months of this year in Ecuador visiting family. I visited my father and my stepmother, and I used to live in Ecuador in my 20s. So visiting a lot of my friends. And then the 3 months prior, between when we got back from Turkey and went to Ecuador, again, doing a lot of traveling. And so while I'm in Ecuador, I'm thinking to myself, I'm paying a lot of money every month for my storage unit, which is my house that I'm not actually in. And so I started playing with the idea of maybe it's time to go hit the road. I love to travel. And when I was in Ecuador, I actually got a very clear message from my guides that said, time to go, pack your things up. And then of course, I'm like, well, what are we doing? Where are we going? My guides are like, we'll tell you when you actually commit to packing your stuff up and going. So it was a very powerful lesson in trust, faith, surrender. And especially because it had been a while since I'd done a solo travel, a solo journey. I'd done it with partners, even going down to Ecuador for 3 months. I had my safety net of my dad and my stepmom and all of my friends. And so I could tell and already start to feel this was a really important part of my journey as far as eat, pray, love of doing it on my own. I'm young, right? I'm 35. And so I realized there now, of course, on my journey, that there was still some things I was holding on to around, I can't do it on my own. Even last summer in Turkey with my partner, I'm running my business, making my own money. And yet at the same time, we're co-creating and he's paying for things and we're planning the trips together. Like if I had done Turkey on my own, it would have been a completely different experience. We would not have been bouncing around so much. I would have been staying definitely in different locations, probably staying put a lot longer in one place because I have to run my business. Whereas I had this plus one that was taken care of so much. And so I also knew that this was going to be a completely, it was just a big opportunity for me to grow and step up into that next level of I can take care of myself. The universe has my back. And so there were certain people I'd wanted to see. And when I started planning it all together, it was very clear, okay, I'm going to develop this road trip based around who I want to see and in between other places that I want to go. And then my brother lives in the country of Georgia, just next to Turkey, and he's been there for a year. And even more so, I'm like, well, why don't I get over there and visit my brother as well? So the road trip's going to be about 4 months. And then at the end of September, the plan is to fly to Europe, maybe Spain for a week or two, and then get to Georgia and have that be my home base. Because as an American citizen, I can stay for up to a year on a tourist visa, whereas Europe is 90 days. So even more so, that gives me the home base that I can use to travel and explore. And then when I was in Turkey last summer, it showed me I can run my business with both my US and European clients, even being 9-10 hours ahead. So that's how it all manifested. And, you know, there were certainly fears and insecurities. I found a journal entry actually from the beginning of June or the end of May that was talking about, I'm a little scared. Like I have to 100% rely on me. I don't have my partner as a safety net. I don't have like anybody as a safety net. And what I really came to realize as I worked through those fears was, do you ever really have anybody as a safety net? Or do you really believe that source is your safety net? So it's been a really beautiful journey of trust in self and trust in the universe. And I'm so grateful that I listened to the message that I got. And guess what? I wouldn't have heard the message if I hadn't been practicing being mindful and present and meditating every day and developing my spiritual gifts with my channeler. So I can see how this all pulls together so beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. So what like did you, as a coach, you learned from the people that you were working for as social media stuff, and then you started getting more into this. So what kind of things that besides learning how to channel, have you learned? What kind of practices have you learned or certifications, if you will?
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot. When I think about the tools that I use with my clients, it definitely involves meditation, certified in hypnotherapy, certified in neurolinguistic reprogramming, tapping, emotional freedom technique, right? I did a heart-centered therapy training whilst in Ecuador, and it's all about releasing stored trauma without having to relive it, and even being able to go back and heal it in your parents and up to seven generations or more, because it just gets passed down through the lineages. So these are all the actual day-to-day tools that I use with my clients. But what I have found is that there's the difference between coaching and mentoring. And so my programs tend to be filled with the tools, which is, okay, I've created a course for you, like go learn the things. Whereas the mentoring aspect is, okay, now how do we embody it? And more often than not, because we're all energetic beings, it's just the energetic calibration. They're calibrating to me, and the words are coming through that they need to hear. And when you have that each and every week, it's mitigating the wobble. So it's like you're staying on track, staying on track, staying on track, staying on track. Yeah. So the tools to me are the more of the beginning stepping stones that we all need to learn, that I've gone through myself. And once you learn those, then we can go to that higher level, like I said, of energetic calibration and mentoring. That's going to get you so much further, but you can't skip straight to that part, I believe. Even though when I'll do like Facebook Lives and whatnot with people I've never met, they're like, I feel so much better afterwards. What just happened? Mm-hmm. It's not the words. It's the energy. It's the intention behind what I'm putting out. And it's like, you could walk into a room and two people just had a fight and you can feel it, even though they didn't say anything and they're smiling. And so the important thing to remember is that we're all energetic beings and we calibrate to each other's frequencies. So who are you hanging out with? It's a really important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. It's so crazy you're talking about this, because just like an hour ago, I did a workshop on how to 10x the quality of your most important relationships. And one of the things I said is, you can change how you show up to a relationship, because when you do, your vibration increases and it affects the person that you're talking to. So isn't that totally crazy?
Does. Yeah. Yeah. I share that with my clients all the time, and they're like, but what about so-and-so? They're such a drag. And I'm like, look, this is your spiritual mission. You're up here, they're down there. Can you maintain your vibration regardless of what's going on around you? And then step two, which is what I do, can you bring them up to your vibration? Like, that is the way of the spiritual warrior.
That's so amazing. Yeah. I was curious about how you trained, you know, got trained, because you clearly have a lot to bring to the table. And, you know, the way you have it set up is what's best for the people. Cause what they do is they think they need tools, and they don't realize it goes much deeper than that, right?
I trick you. Yes, exactly. I mean, I would say my people know me well enough by now, but when you first get into it, you're stuck more in that ego of lack. I need the guy, I need the money, I need the career. And then when you start to dig into the tools and the processes and get deeper into spirituality, it's like when I was a yoga teacher, people thought they wanted yoga for the physical benefits of their body. And then after a while they realize, oh, it's the spiritual benefits. It's the breath work. It's that connection to source. And so it's the exact same thing with coaching and mentoring. They think they need the guy, the money, the career, but once they start using these tools, then they actually open up and connect into the truth of who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah. So do you have any like recommendations? So if somebody's listening to this and they like, how did she manifest her soul, like her perfect, you know, even though you're not together anymore,
yeah,
you know, it would be interesting to know like what you would suggest somebody do to do that.
To manifest love?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I think about the last 20 years of my life that I've really been into personal development, there's really like this 2-3-step process that I teach. I did a workshop a couple of times called Manifesting Your Energetic Match. And I really think these three pillars are oh so important, because this is the premise of manifesting anything in your life. It doesn't matter if it's love, money, job, career, anything. Is first process, first step is belief in self, which has to do with self-love, self-confidence. And so you have to believe you're worthy, you're valuable for the partner, for the money, for the clients. So that's going to be step one that someone can begin. Are there self-love courses, self-confidence courses? How do I speak my truth? How do I understand my needs? Like, there's so many ways someone could go down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And I would say, follow what feels good. Start asking for help, asking for support. And the resources, the coaches, the teachers, the books, the podcasts, they will show up. Can't tell you how many people have said, Emerald, I have no idea how it happened, but I stumbled across your podcast. I stumbled across a post. It showed up at the right time. Like, exactly. Because you were a match for it. So the first thing is belief in self. Second step in the process is belief in the universe. Meaning, do you believe that those type of men actually exist? Because so many women will tell me all the good ones are taken. There's no good men in my town. Well, that's you actually not believing in the miracle of the universe being able to provide that for you. Or do you actually believe that the clients are out there and they would pay you what you're charging? So then it's working on the faith muscle, the spirituality, the trust. And once again, there's plenty of ways you can do that. Our belief systems are unique. Our religious or spiritual belief systems, our connection, co-creation with the universe, that's going to be very individualistic. And so if there's certain teachers you resonate with, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Gabrielle Bernstein, Oprah, Tony Robbins, it doesn't matter who it is, but if there's teachers that you resonate with, then keep studying with them, keep learning. And when I think about co-creating with the universe, that's a relationship, which means I had to develop that relationship, which meant I was getting into a lot more prayer, a lot more meditation, a lot more visualization. I was looking for positive proof of all of the things I'd actually manifested in the past. So the step two would be really learning to trust the universe and deepen your faith muscle. And then step three in the process is inspired action. Nothing's going to show up on your doorstep because you've been hoping and praying and wishing and visualizing. We live in a physical reality for a reason, which is you have to go out. But activating the magic of the universe, I think of it as a bunch of cogs. Once you start taking action and your cog starts spinning, all the other ones start spinning. But they don't spin until you spin. And so inspired action is going to be what's right for you. And that's you taking that time to connect in with self to figure it out. I have so many stories of clients that are like, I hate online dating. I've been single for years. What's wrong with me? Never works out. We work together for 6 months. They put everything aside, which means they're working on the internal, they're working on the trust in the universe. And then all of a sudden they get a wild hair and they feel like, all right, maybe I'm ready for online dating again. Second date, he's the one. What shifted? She shifted. She had to take that break to energetically clear, to work through her stuff and her faith with the universe. Then when she took inspired action, it worked. But why didn't it work for the last 5 years of online dating? So those are the three steps of manifestation that are applicable to absolutely anything in your life. You have to believe in yourself, believe that it's possible, that it can happen in the universe. And then you've got to take inspired action towards the dream life.
Yeah, I totally agree. What if somebody had a question about, well, I don't feel inspired to take action. So how does somebody get inspired to take action?
If they're not inspired to take action, then I would say you're not ready to take action. Mm-hmm. I had a woman on a live stream today because we were talking about love. And she's like, you know, I'm really happy right now being single and I'm not looking for a partner right now, but I probably will in the future. Like, well, if you're not looking for a partner right now, then why would you take action right now? But I promise you, when you feel that urge and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm ready for a partner, girl, you're going to take action. I know that. So if you're not feeling inspired, then I would say you're not ready. Maybe what you want, you don't actually want. And it's more of a societal program that's been handed to you.
So there might be something, you think you need to have a partner because you don't want to be alone for the rest of your life, but maybe deep down you don't really want one or your soul doesn't want one.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. That's so good. All right. So we're going to wrap up, but one of the things I just have to say, you are so passionate. I love it when I see somebody like you where the words just spill out so clearly. And you're so articulate with your message. And that just tells me how aligned you are. And I want people to understand that, like, I can tell that Emerald is living the life that she is, you know, living a life on purpose, because she just, the way she presents herself and the way she comes across so passionately and givingly. I don't even know if that's a word.
It is now.
Yeah, yeah. But one of the things before we leave is I want to know how you got your name, why you picked that name.
Okay, how do I make this a short story?
I looked at crayons and I saw the emerald color.
That's pretty. Okay, so first of all, what you have to know is not many people actually know this story.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when I was living in Ecuador in my 20s, I met a woman, well, actually a couple women who had changed their names, but there was one woman in particular, and she changed her name because she was studying the Kabbalah and numerology and how your birth name, every letter is associated with a number, can be in alignment with your birth number. So it was numerology and the Kabbalah. And when I started studying it, it really resonated. And I'm all about what resonates, what feels right. So I studied it and went deeper into it. My original birth name was something that was not bad, horrible, yucky, but it never actually really resonated with me. I found myself throughout my life multiple times, like changing the spelling of it, trying to make it more unique, trying to make it fit me better. So this isn't a story of like, I hate the name my parents gave me. There was something wrong with it. It just never fully felt like me. And so when I met her and studied the Kabbalah and then put in like this name change request, like what were the names they came up with? At the same time, I'm doing a 3-day fast. I'm creating this vision board. Like, what am I calling in for my dream life? Like, I'm just in this really period of personal growth and transformation. It's right around 28. It's my Saturn return. Like, there's just so much going on. And so when they came back with some names, they were all horrible. I'm not going to lie. And I was actually the one that said, well, what about Emerald or Esme? You know, like I was giving them ideas of names that started with E because I wanted to keep with the same initials. And then they came back and said Emerald would work with a Y in it. And it just felt right. And I looked at my vision board and there was an emerald ring in the very middle of the vision board. And I was like, holy shit, look at me. I'm already manifesting it. So I tried it on for a while. We had a re-birthday party in Ecuador with my dad and friends. And I was in a women's group and we were trying it out there. So I tried it on for a couple of months to be like, how does this fit me? How does it feel? And it felt amazing. And then I eventually went through the legal process to legally change it. So the idea being that your name can be in alignment with your birth number and energetically help you to manifest your soul's higher calling. At the same time, do I believe in giving my power away to a name? Absolutely not. And it, like, there were so many other lessons that needed to happen. And the biggest one at that time period in my life was shedding the I need to be who others say I am, such as my parents and how they've named me. And so it was a big part of my journey of stepping into, I'm rebirthing myself. This is who I am. I'm choosing it. I don't negate the last 28 years of who I've been, but this is a rebirthing. This is who I'm choosing to be now. And I freaking love my name. I get so many compliments on it. It feels like me. It feels right. And that's the condensed version of how that came to manifest.
Yeah. And you've had it for, I guess, about 7 years now.
Yeah. It's been
it for a while. Yeah.
Exactly.
One day you'll have it for more years than your other one.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have a funny name, but I'll make mine short. So my real name is Laura. Not many people know that, but my parents never called me that. They always call me Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And I
love, like, why don't you just call me Lori?
Well, I love Lori and I've always like resonated deeply with that. But Laura is on all my official documentation. And one day I think I need to change it because it just, I cringe whenever I hear Laura. It's right. Like, because when I was younger, I would go to school and I was too shy to, there was to a time when them. I was shy. Yeah. And they never asked for a nickname. You know, Michael would always be Mike, but they never asked Laura what her nickname was. Yeah. So,
I think it's important because there's energy behind everything you say and intention. And I love it. I probably at least once a week, I get, oh, that's such a beautiful name. And then I get that love and adoration so many times. So there is something to say about the words you use and the name you call yourself.
Yeah. And I love that it's different too, the way that it's spelled different. So it's so cool. So
suits me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining today and sharing your insight and your wisdom. You're so like evolved for somebody so young. So I can't imagine how you're going to evolve the rest of your life. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been just such an honor and a pleasure being here and chatting. And I hope there is just so much value received from your listeners.
I'm sure there will be. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.